gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
I got some confusion out there, and we've said it before, it's more of the same, just talking about it's going on down in Houston. Christy Dean.
Hey.
Hey. You all right?
I'm good.
Okay, got a big debate going on down there about, I guess, this transgender public restroom bill. And the debate is really centered on the varying definitions of men. I mean, I thought there was like one definition, but anyway, there's apparently more. Excuse me. So basically, anyone who tries to stop a biological man who identifies as a woman, okay, so you got a man.
Right, I got it.
He's identifying as a woman. If you try to stop him from using a woman's restroom, you're going to be in violation of the law, and you could face a fine up to $5,000.
Well, I think we all knew this was coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been coming. It's been coming all over the place. In fact, it wasn't too long ago. I guess it's a few weeks ago, September 2nd. Now, we're already into October, mm-hmm. but like you say, this is an evolving kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Walsh posted a piece out at The Blaze, forcing girls to share a bathroom with a gender-confused boy. Now, listen to what he says. It's abuse. Now, I agree with him. And what he's talking about, let's see. Lila Perry is a teenage boy at Hillsborough High School in Missouri. Apparently, he was a gay male until about the ninth grade, at which point he decided he was actually a straight female.
Okay.
Okay. It's hard. Listen, I don't want to make fun of people, but obviously it's the confusion, and it's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to laugh, forgive me, you know, some of the absurd things that are posited, that are asserted. But anyway, we're not making fun of people, just the whole fallen rationale. Anyway, here's what Matt Wall says. This is the sort of revelation that in saner times, that's what I'm laughing at, the insanity, would land the confused young man in rigorous psychological and spiritual counseling. But these are not sane times, so instead it landed him in the girls' locker room. Now, just a couple more points on this story, and then we're going to do some freewheeling like we typically do, okay? The school initially offered Perry access to a private unisex facility. See, they've been over backwards trying to accommodate this kid. But that was not sufficient. Perry didn't want to be in his anatomically correct bathroom, nor did he want to be in a gender-neutral bathroom. No, he wanted to be in the girls' bathroom. That's what he wanted, and because he belongs to a protected class, that is exactly what he got. So what happened is, I mean, Matt Walsh is great. He writes these feature-length pieces, but you can't deal with all that in the short broadcast that we have. But essentially, hundreds of girls protested this thing. Can you imagine?
Rightly so.
Yeah. You know, they felt weird. They felt uncomfortable. They didn't think it was right. They didn't want that. And here's the school saying, okay, you don't want to go into the boys.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go into the girls. Here's one just for you.
Right.
But no, he wants to go into the girls. Now, obviously, you know, some of us are going to question his motives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a guy just really wants to go in the girls' bathroom, girls' locker room. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just a depraved individual.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say he really is gender confused and all the rest. And, you know, he's not pulling a fast one over everybody. At the same time, we're providing, you know, see, he wants to be accommodated.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world wants him to be accommodated. But they don't care about the girls.
Right.
So these hundreds of girls are protesting. These hundreds of girls are upset. But one guy wants access to their locker room where they're dressing and undressing. And who knows?
Mm-hmm.
They want privacy. But we're going to accommodate him. See, why can't we accommodate all? Now, I'm not asking for accommodation. In my world, if I were, you know, King Dean, boys go to the boys' bathroom, whether you're confused or not, girls go to the girls' bathroom. That's how it is.
Hmm.
All right, but, you know, you're giving him the private bathroom. You're not getting into the girls' locker room. Sorry. I mean, you're just not. See, that's not what happened. And see, now here's what's, oh man, I wish I could read Matt Walsh. But listen to some of these tweets.
Mm.
See, now this is the world,
right?
All right. So remember, this fella's name is Lila Perry. So here's a woman who says, I understand it's a complicated matter, but parents should be teaching tolerance, not cruelty, towards Lila Perry.
So what about girls, tolerance to the girls?
Exactly. You see. They talk about liberty, they talk about equality, but it's not. It's about what we want. They don't care about anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, you don't care about anyone. That is not true. I do care. If he wants his own bathroom, fine. I care about him. I'll give him some counsel. That's why I'll mm-hmm. give him the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I care about the girls as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not even the worst. Listen to this. My heart hurts for Lila Perry. Transphobia, among other things, should have no place in our world. Bullies are, and I can't even say the word on the air.
Hmm.
Bullies are jerks, but they used a stronger word than that. Here's another one. How does Lila Perry harm you by being in the change room with you? If you're looking at genitals, you're the problem. Can you believe that?
Wow.
That's unbelievable. Here's another one. This is a woman. I stand with Lila Perry. To the 200 students who decided to walk out of school in protest, welcome to the modern world. How about this? Those school kids wouldn't even care about Lila Perry using the girls' restroom if their blank parents hadn't taught them to hate. So now it's hate.
Hmm.
That the girls don't want a
guy.
I
think they're just weirded out. And that's, girls get, I think that's, hey, normal.
You know what? I don't want the girls in the guys' locker
right.
room. You know, I'm old-fashioned enough. You know, I'm going to be weirded out.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't even like guys in the locker room.
Dad wants his private locker
That's
room.
That's right. I could go to Hillsborough. They give me my own locker room. I'm good. Just leave me alone.
Anyways.
Yeah, one more, and then we got to move on. I stand with Lila Perry, this tweeter says. Any student uncomfortable with her in the girls' room can go use the gender-neutral bathroom. So now all the girls got to go use
the girls.
And, of course, if they all do that, then Lila's going to get mad at that. Right. Wait a minute.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Oh, and they're saying she's being discriminated against by these girls. Stay strong, brave girl. Talking to Lila. Talking
right.
to the guy.
Right.
Hold your head high. Wow. Anyway, now I want to talk about something else that ties into this.
Okay.
Excuse me, our culture. We do biblical counseling,
mm-hmm.
right? And biblical counseling is different than psychology, and it's different than what is termed Christian counseling. Christian counseling integrates psychology into their counseling models, methodology, mm-hmm. et cetera. Well, biblical counseling does not integrate psychology. So it's strictly using the scriptures to counsel others. Now,
mm-hmm.
it's not simplistic. It's not like take two Bible verses and call me in the morning. A lot of
right.
people attack it and mischaracterize it, but that obviously that's not what it is. It's also been termed nouthetic counseling from the Greek word nouthesis,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, nous. Nous is the Greek word for mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of nuthesis is to put in mind. So we're talking about renewing the mind with the gospel, with the Word of God. Anyway, you had one large national organization, used to be known as NANC, mm-hmm. the National Association of Nuthetic Counselors. They changed their name. I forget what it is, but it's the Association of Biblical Counselors or something like that. Forgive me for not knowing exactly the name of it. But anyway, out at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, this past week, they had the latest, I'm going to call it NANC Conference, even though they've changed their name.
And Association of Certified Biblical Counselors.
Thank you. Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. That makes more sense. You know, we actually have Association of Certified Biblical Counselors who've been certified through that organization.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we have counselors in our organization who are certified by that group. It's just so much easier to call them NANC certified. But anyway, ACBC, is that what it is?
Right.
Yeah. So one person said to me, I can remember that. Not ACDC, but ACBC.
ACBC.
Got it. So anyway, they had the conference there at the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a bunch of protesters outside, believe it or not, gay protesters or homosexual protesters. Essentially, they are criticizing Southern Seminary and or ACBC for engaging in reparative therapy or reparative therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they've been criticizing that for years now. But essentially, they're saying, these Christian counselors think you can pray the gay away.
Hmm.
I mean, that's their words.
Mm-hmm.
And they're upset. They said, they say no matter how thin you slice it, it's still reparative therapy. Well, the reality is, NANC or ACBC, Southern Seminary, we biblical counselors, we do not support reparative therapy. In fact, reparative therapy is based in psychology,
mm-hmm.
and it's too simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're dealing with complicated issues here,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't work. We're talking about something different. We're talking about total transformation, and that's what confused people need.
Mm.
Whether you're homosexual, whether you're transgender, we're in a culture war, but more than that, we're in a battle for souls. And we're here to minister the gospel. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Founder, editor, and CEO of WND.com, Joseph Farah.
In the standards of American journalism that we created here in the last couple hundred years, the goal should be truth.
I'm Rich Rossell. Join Trace Embry and me as we talk with Joseph Farah next time on Licensed to Parent.
Licensed to Parent every Monday at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Family Safe Home Security connects callers to licensed alarm sales providers. Activation and installation charges may apply. 3-year minimum monitoring contract required.
Attention moms, dads, and anyone worried about the safety of your home. Crime is rising, so you better protect your home from break-ins, burglary, or vandalism. Introducing the Family Safe Home Security Startup Deal. Get up to $1,000 of free home security equipment when you call now. Call 800-708-2290. 800-708-2290. Call now for up to $1,000 of free equipment.
I called Family Safe Home Security, and we have peace of mind now.
Once I called, I felt safe. I can even control our home security from my phone.
Reduce the risk of break-in using the latest technology. Call Family Safe Home Security and get up to $1,000 free equipment with the Family Safe Startup Deal. Call 800-708-2290. 800-708-2290. 800-708-2290.
Does a financial advisor with a Christian worldview advise clients differently than an advisor that doesn't share that same worldview? The answer should obviously be yes. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller with Plan First. As a fee-only, Christian-owned firm, I believe our advisors are dedicated to helping our clients maximizing their effectiveness in this world by being a good steward of the resources God has given them. For more information, call me at 1-800-588-PLAN and be sure to check out our advisory team at planfirst.com.
Thanks for listening to Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, now look, there's a massive difference between reparative therapy. I don't even know all the techniques, but, you know, trying to get someone who's gay to, you know, not be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a psychological method. It's an oversimplification. A lot of people have criticized it. You know, secular folk, but Christians as well, Christian biblical counselors, and even folk who are involved in reparative therapy. They've come out and said, yeah, you know what, you know, we were wrong on this side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Al Mohler made a statement this week. I'm going to get to that, but he said, you know, not only, well, basically he said reparative therapy doesn't work, and we've sinned against gay people. And if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know the context, say, wait a minute, is Al Mohler gone liberal? We've sinned against gay people? No, he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on, we're going to get to that. But it is interesting, some of these protesters at the ACBC conference, which formerly NANC, National Association of Nuthetic Counselors, Sanity Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, mm-hmm. I got it.
Good job.
Yeah. And I knew that.
Just had to remind you.
Yeah. Just hard, that short-term memory has,
right.
Anyway. You got these protesters out there at Southern Seminary. You
mm-hmm.
can't pray the gay away. These guys are doing damage. I mean, they're and listen, they're calling for the you know, outlawing of biblical counseling. You know, if you try to, there are bills in you know, various legislatures right now that if you try to help anyone, even if they want the help. They say, I'm a homosexual, but I don't want to be, or I'm struggling with homosexual feelings, or I want to get out of this lifestyle. Please help me. There are bills on the books that would make it illegal to give them any kind of help whatsoever. And so, obviously, that's an attack on religious freedom right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an attack on freedom in general. It's an attack on their liberty to want to have the help. It's an attack on our freedom for saying, hey, this is our belief. What makes your belief right? Well, just the fact that you have the culture behind you right now, it's
mm-hmm.
a majority kind of construct. There's a side issue. That's why Christians are so wrong when they try to make law a matter of majority rule rather than a matter of principle. But that's a different show. Don't get me started. I say that lovingly. But here's what I wanted to get. Listen to this. Here's Derek Penwell. Now, he's a minister who was among the protesters at Southern Seminary.
Okay.
Now, listen to what he said. Now, he's talking about, you know, again, he believes that the biblical counselors are engaging in reparative therapy, which, again, they're not, but this is what he's saying. But he says this, any movement that takes as its organizing principle the fact that people are somehow defective is wrong and it is destructive. And it adds to the kind of abuse that a group of people have faced for too long.
Mm. You know, I've been thinking about this. This might be another side issue.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about for some time the fact that Christians have been kind of mischaracterized because on their response to homosexuals, because by those Christians that really do hate gay people,
mm-hmm.
And the ones that really are not loving in their conversations with homosexuals and whatnot, and really just telling them that, you know, the Christians that will hold up signs that says
mm-hmm.
God hates homosexuality,
right.
You know, while that's true, that's not how you win someone to Christ. You don't preach, you show them God's love.
Right.
But the
you
more,
the truth.
Right,
in
the
love.
More I think about it, even if Christians as a whole were to change their approach to witnessing to homosexuals to a more biblically oriented approach to sharing the truth with them in love and not being hateful about it, even if we were to do that, they would still protest us because our message at its very core is just completely against what they think.
Yes.
And since they are... It's foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned and they won't, because I'm trying to quote the scripture verse.
can tell. You're doing good. I was going to say, you're bringing up the Bible in this conversation. Oh, that's a good thing. Go ahead.
The natural man cannot understand the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
1 Corinthians 2:14.
Right.
Yes.
And so even if our approach is loving, they're still going to push back against us.
Yes.
And think that we hate them, when the reality is we don't hate them. We
Correct.
Don't hate homosexuals. We love people. We want to share the gospel with them. In fact, the hateful thing would be to not share the gospel with them. So I don't know how that fits in with our discussion.
No, it does fit in. It does fit in. I mean, the Lord Jesus himself said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he who lives God in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
They hated me, they're going to hate you. On and on we could go. And the reality is there are a lot of Christians who have sinned against homosexuals.
Yeah,
they've gone about it the wrong way. But now there are a lot of Christians who are saying that publicly. They're saying just what you just said. And people are calling for a biblical approach to homosexuals. People like Russell Moore and Al Mohr and many, many others. Myself, many, many others, you know. But the reality is even, you know, if we were all biblical all the time, because we're touching them at their sin point. I mean, we all sin in all kinds of ways, but they're gonna rail against it, and that's what we're seeing at Southern Seminary. For anybody, if they would do any kind of research at all, they would know there's a big difference between biblical counseling and reparative therapy. You know, I don't even know. I've read in this piece. I don't have time to skim through it here on the air. But there's some of the techniques in reparative therapy, you know, where, gosh, it's like, whoa, you are mistreating someone else. But biblical counseling, all we're doing is saying, look, here's what the Word of God says. You know, I understand you have these feelings. They're not not real. They're not illusory. These are real feelings, real desires, real inclinations. Bible does call them sin, though. And I have sinful desires and inclinations, right?
We all do.
We all do. And so the Bible says, but you need to put these sinful desires and activities off. You need to put them away. You need to replace them with biblical, godly desires and godly activities. Now, you can't do that on your own.
You need grace.
You need grace. You need the Holy Spirit. You need transforming power of Christ. And so we're going to come to the Scriptures and we're going to, you know, use the means that God has given us, the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Holy Spirit works, then you can be changed. Now, some people are changed very quickly and they no longer have the struggle. And others, they love Jesus, they're saved, but they still struggle with feelings and desires the rest of their lives. But they're able to deal with it biblically.
We all still struggle
with sinful desires, don't we? Don't you? I do. I wish I didn't, but I do. But I know that they're sinful, and I hate them, and I put them off as best I can, and I call on Christ to help me, and he does.
Yeah, and you have divine transforming power that helps you do that.
Yeah. Now, let's back up just for a moment, though, because there was a reason I read this particular quote. There's so many quotes I could have read. I mean, it's just, you know, if we had more time, and that's my fault. I'm not saying, but we don't. But again, Derek Penwell, this minister among the protesters, he says any movement that takes as its organizing principle, okay, so he's talking about the biblical counselors and what they're meeting about this week. They do different topics at their annual conferences. Now, they got, you know, 100 workshops where they're dealing with all kinds of stuff, but it's just that their main focus in their plenary sessions, their together sessions, you know, where everybody's together. How to help transgendered people. How to help homosexual people. That's what this is about. It's not about hate. It's about love, like you said. Anyway, he says, any movement that takes as its organizing principle the fact that people are somehow defective is wrong and is destructive. Now, again, he's keying in specifically on homosexuality. But think about it
for a moment. What about mental health facilities or something, or a murderer, a psychopath who's out murdering, and there's a movement to correct their defective thinking. Don't they believe that their thinking is defective?
Well, good questions, one and all. There's something much broader than that for us as Christians and for the good of our culture, if you think about it. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
What he's just done without realizing it is criticized the gospel itself. In other words, any movement that takes as its organizing principle the fact that people are somehow defective? Hello? We're born defective, every single one of us. Now, that term might be a little, you know, loaded, but we're born dead in sin.
And that's why we need Christ.
And that's the whole point of Christianity, right? Mm-hmm. That you are defective. Your defections and your sins, is what we're talking about, manifest in different ways from different people.
Mm-hmm.
But what this minister is saying, mm-hmm. and he doesn't realize it is, we just need to outlaw Christianity completely because it is wrong, it is destructive, and it is abusive. That's what he's saying.
Hmm.
Now, I think we could, you know, remove his ministerial credentials. That would be good. Are you kidding me? Wow, I'm not being ugly. Gosh, so much to talk about.
So what's our point?
So little time. Well, I don't know. It's getting worse. hey, can I say, I'm going to give you two words, and immediately it's going to spark controversy. Can I say something controversial?
I guess so.
Doug Wilson. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Just by saying his name, we've got controversy here on the Dean's List. But let me just quote you real quick. I don't know how much time we'll have, and this might elucidate at least one point. I mean, the point is we got to keep preaching the gospel.
Right.
We got to stand firm no matter what, because we do want to help people. It's not about winning a culture war for me and for us. I mean, culture is going to be influenced as we reach people, but it's about reaching people and helping them and loving them. Right.
So what did Doug Wilson say?
Well, he says he gives a brief crib sheet to help us understand what the premises of sexual anarchy require, because that's what we're talking about in our culture now, sexual anarchy. All right? So some people say, well, I was born this way.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Lady Gaga?
Mm-hmm, right.
Born this way. Excuse me. And then there are others, well, no, gender is a social construct. So that's what they're saying now. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, gender, I wasn't born a man. I mean,
right.
I'm a man, but I'm really a woman. So, were you born this way, or is it a social construct? Which is it? And if gender is a social construct, then why can't reparative therapists help construct it? No, I'm not in favor of reparative therapy.
Right.
But anyway, you got about 12 of these. The confusion is unbelievable. But we just got to be faithful, loving, speak the truth in love,
and overcome with the gospel.
Right.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.